Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. So those last two verses of Psalm 128 that are the sermon text this morning. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. It's in connection with these verses, beloved, that I want to address a matter that is of concern to me, and I think ought to be of concern to you also. A matter of concern that has arisen out of my own experience in small congregations like your own, congregations that are to one degree or another mission congregations, not long established, relatively new in many cases to the Reformed faith. And that matter of concern has to do with the relationship of the man, the person who fears the Lord, to the church. I've changed the title of the sermon this morning a little bit. On the bulletin, it's the family and the church. But I want to make it clear that this is not a matter of concern only to those of you who are married and have families, but a matter of concern to everyone who fears the Lord. This relationship between the believer and the church. The psalm speaks of the blessedness of the man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways, and describes that blessedness first in terms of our daily life and daily work. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. That's the blessedness of the man who fears the Lord, first of all. And then, because most of us are married and have families, the Word of God describes that blessedness as family blessedness too. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. That, along with the blessedness of daily labor, of happiness, that is the blessedness of the man who fears the Lord. But then, almost surprisingly, the psalm talks about the church as well. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. And it's those verses especially that establish a connection between the believer and the Church of Jesus Christ, and make it clear that our blessedness as families and as individuals, cannot be separated from a place and life in the Church of Jesus Christ. The two go together. To cut oneself off from the church, to deny that the church has an important place in the life of believers, is really to undermine the blessedness of which this psalm speaks so clearly and so beautifully. Now you have to understand, of course, that those names that are used in verses 5 and 6 are names for the church. Zion, Jerusalem, Israel are Old Testament names for the church and names that continue to be used in the New Testament as well. Don't want to spend a lot of time proving that, but if you have any doubts at all about that, then you need to read Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23, and think hard about those verses. Those verses read, "Ye're come unto Mount Zion." There's one of those names. "And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." There's another one of those names. "And to an innumerable company of angels." But if you come to Zion and to Jerusalem, then you're coming, that's verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So those are names for the church. And when we read in Psalm 128, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion," then we should understand immediately that the Word of God is saying, "The Lord shall bless thee out of the Church of Jesus Christ." And when it adds, "Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life," then the Word of God is talking about the good of the Church of Jesus Christ, the church of which we, by grace, are members. So there's a connection between the blessedness of the man who fears the Lord and the place and calling and life that he lives in the church. His blessedness, in fact, according to verse 5, begins in the church. "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion." And enjoying that blessing personally and in his family, he sees that blessing flow back to the church. "Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." The church is the source of that blessing. That blessing flows from the church to the believer, and if he's married and has a family, to his family also, and from him back to the church. That's the Word of God here in Psalm 128, verses 5 and 6. Now that implies that the believer is a member, what the Heidelberg Catechism calls a living member of the Church of Jesus Christ. He doesn't live independently of the church, but is a member. A member, of course, of the body of Christ, gathered out of all nations and out of all time. But Zion and Jerusalem are names too for what we call the Church Institute, the church here on earth, gathered in congregations, worshiping together on the Lord's Day. And he's a fruitful member of the church in that sense also. There, well, to put it in terms of the text, he understands that fearing the Lord and walking in his ways includes that. It's not just a matter of living a Christian life individually and on his own, but includes faithful membership in the Church of Jesus Christ here on earth. He understands that the blessing of the Lord is through the church and out of the church and by way of membership in the church. That God in his wisdom has appointed the preaching of the gospel, the sacraments, and all that's part of the church as means of grace. The way in which he gives his grace to his people. Man who fears the Lord walks in God's ways by faithful membership in the Church of Jesus Christ. But there's a little more to it than that. This all has to do with God's covenant. That's really at the foundation of what the Word of God says here. And if you understand the covenant properly, then you'll understand this too. We talk of God's covenant as he establishes it with us, then we understand that that covenant includes, first of all, our own relationship to God. He is our God. And each of us is a member of his family, one of his children. That's the covenant. That we are God's friends, as Abraham was. But of course, the covenant reaches beyond that. It's not just that I personally have a very blessed relationship to the God of my salvation, but if I'm married and have a family, then that covenant includes them also. They're part of that relationship in which I stand to my God. And of course, the psalm really implies that. That the blessedness that God promises as the God of the covenant extends to families as well. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. We all understand that, I think. If we've been part of the congregation here for any length of time, if we've read the books and other literature of the Protestant Reformed churches, then we understand that. But we don't always understand the fact that that covenant, that relationship in which we stand to God, is even broader than the family. It includes the church as well. My relationship to God in the covenant includes my family, but includes all the other members of the Church of Jesus Christ as well. That's really what's at the bottom of this psalm? So that my personal blessedness and my family blessedness cannot be separated from the Church of Jesus Christ. Or to put it a little differently, perhaps in a nicer way, my family is the whole Church of Jesus Christ, and especially those with whom I worship every Lord's Day. And we experience that too. We often feel closer to the members of the church than to those who are our own flesh and blood, but not believers. And in some cases, where we come from unbelieving families, the church becomes, in a very real sense of the word, our family. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 3 about the church in those terms. Speaks of the fact that the whole family in heaven and on earth has the name of our Father in heaven. For this cause, he says in Ephesians 3 verses 14 and 15, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. If you understand that, you understand the truth, the doctrine that lies at the foundation of this passage. But I said that's a matter of concern because that's not very well understood today. In some cases, not understood at all. That God's covenant is broader than just the family and embraces the Church of Jesus Christ as well. And sadly, it's not always understood even in our own churches. This connection between the believer and the Church of Jesus Christ. I mentioned the fact that you find this lack of understanding in mission congregations, new congregations. You find it with new believers often. You have people who come who understand the doctrines of the Reformed faith and who love them, who even understand the doctrine of the covenant, but don't understand that the doctrine of the covenant has this application. Don't understand how important the church is, what the church ought to mean to them. Don't understand what it means to live as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And therefore, in spite of the fact that they've got the doctrines right, 5 points of Calvinism and the other doctrines of the Reformed faith, they don't do very well as members of the church. I had one relatively new member of one of the congregations that I served say to me after several years, I feel like a square peg in a round hole. And though I didn't say that to him at the time, I certainly felt like saying to him, that's because you still don't see what the church means and what membership in the church is all about. And in spite of the fact that you are in name a member here, you're not behaving like a member, but living independently of the church. That's the reason. And then, of course, in the church world today, you have people who don't have any comprehension of this at all. The church to them is nothing more than a place to go on the Lord's Day to receive some teaching from the Word of God. It begins and ends with that, and the church is never anything more than that to them. Or perhaps it's a place where they have some Christian fellowship on the Lord's Day. But even then, they don't see how much greater a place the church ought to have in their lives as believers. Don't understand what the Word of God is saying in Psalm 128, verse 5, when it says, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion." Perhaps you've had some experience of that yourself. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond those who, though they're members of the church, live independently of the church. You see, that same failure to take into account the doctrine of the covenant and its application here in Psalm 128. In the person who doesn't see clearly that as a member of the church, everything he says and everything he does has consequences as far as the church is concerned, thinks really only of himself. And you get a lot of complaining from that kind of person too. I remember a young man in the first congregation I served who didn't come to the worship services regularly, didn't come to any of the Bible studies, and when the elders encouraged him to do that, then he said, "But I'm not learning anything." And maybe he wasn't. New congregation, I was a new minister, maybe he wasn't learning very much. But the thing that he didn't take into account when he said that was the fact that he needed to be there, not even first of all for himself, but for the sake of the other members. That his presence in the worship services was important as far as the other members were concerned. That his presence at the other meetings of the church was important as far as the other members of the church were concerned. If nothing else, as an encouragement to them. He was in his own mind living independently of the church. He alone mattered, and the church was there only insofar, church was there and important, only insofar as it was of help or assistance to him. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You have the person, and here you don't find these people only in new congregations. You find them in established congregations too, who don't take any part in the communion of saints in the church. They're gone as soon as the worship services are over. Don't seem to have any interest in talking to the other members, any kind of fellowship with them. They're there for the worship services, but that's about it. And again, I think you can say they live sort of on the edge of the church. And the church isn't really all that important to them. They have some understanding of the fact that they have to be members of the church, but the church doesn't have the place that it ought to have in their lives. not really a part of their life, except for a couple of hours on the Lord's day. That kind of attitude towards the church usually brings a lot of criticism of the minister, of the office bearers, even of the other members of the church. Some of it justified, perhaps, some of it not. But they seem to be forever critical, never happy in the Church of Jesus Christ. And certainly don't see what Psalm 128 is talking about. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. I think that lack of understanding was at the root of the problems that troubled our churches not so long ago over the whole matter of homeschooling. The issue was not really, in my mind, homeschooling right or wrong. But the issue was this whole matter of the believer's relationship to the church. And I think the minister who was involved in that controversy in our churches showed that he lacked a biblical understanding of the Word of God here in Psalm 128. He put himself before the church, his family before the church, and did that even though he was a minister of the gospel in the churches. Did not see what the Word of God says here, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, that in some ways my relationship to the church as a believer, certainly as an office bearer, takes precedence over everything else. Not to beat a dead horse, but in that matter of homeschooling, and I would add that we've done it. We've had of necessity to homeschool our children. So I'm not against homeschooling as such. But I had a minister in Linden from another denomination, many of whose congregation are homeschooling, say it was the worst thing that ever happened to his congregation, because it begets a spirit of independentism in God's people that is not for the good of the Church of Jesus Christ and does not promote the fellowship and communion of believers and the unity of the church and does not teach people to be faithful, godly, God-fearing members of the church. All of that is by way of trying to get across to you the fact that what the Word of God says here in Psalm 128 is of enormous importance. And that as a believer, it is not only my responsibility to make sure that in my personal relationship to God, I walk very closely with Him, that I make sure that my family also is part of that relationship to God. I don't live independently from them. But believing the promises, the covenant promises of God, involved myself in family worship, both at home and on the Lord's day, and teach them the fear of the Lord. But it goes beyond that and includes the church as well. And that's where the lack of understanding comes in. Hope you see that, beloved. And see how important, light of the Word of God here, how important membership, faithful membership in the Church of Jesus Christ is and ought to be to you as those who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Don't try to think that you can walk in the Lord's ways without including the church and what Scripture says about the church in that. And as far as the covenant goes, don't think that you can enjoy the blessings and privileges of the covenant without the church. Whether that be in marriage, whether that be as a single person, whether that be as a family. Could write that, you know. Deuteronomy 6 talks about doing that. You could take those words of Psalm 128, verse 5. Maybe write them on the fly leaf of your Bible. Write them over the door of your house. Remind yourself of them over and over again so that you do not go the way that so much of the church world is going today, which pushes the church into the edges of a believer's life, if it's there at all. That has devastating consequences for the believer personally, but especially for the family. If you live on the periphery of the church, be absolutely sure that your children will too. Never see the importance of the church and the place that it ought to have in the lives of believers. If you're forever critical of the church, and I know a man, he's dead and gone now and has had to give an account to his Creator, but a man who was 100% committed to the doctrines of the Reformed faith, but could not stop criticizing. And none of his family, not himself, not his wife, not his children, are members of the church anymore. Those are the consequences of this, of failing to understand it. A person like this is forever a cause of friction in the church so that he never sees peace on Israel. Not easy. If you're going to be a member of the church, really out of an understanding of what the Word of God says here, faithful member of the church, then you've got to put up with all those other sinners in the church. Got to live with them. Have to learn to overlook their weaknesses and faults. To learn what the Word of God says when it talks about covering a multitude of sins. It's not easy. You have to learn. And that's one of the most important things, that you can't have everything your own way. To learn that the church doesn't exist for you, but you for the church. And through the church, of course, for the glory of God. Hard, hard lessons. To learn to get along with others. To love others who are not very lovable in themselves. To learn to love them for the sake of what God has done in their hearts and lives, and not for what they are personally. And that's hard to do. Even harder in the church than it is in marriage or in the family. And I could give you 1,000 examples of what I'm talking about. But what it comes down to is this, that there are going to be things in my own congregation and in the denomination that I am not particularly happy with and don't necessarily agree with. And there are for me personally. As far as my own congregation and the denomination are concerned. But the church means more to me than those things do. And therefore I am not always harping on them. And make every effort to see that they do not become something that destroys the peace of the Church of Jesus Christ. Good lesson in humility in that too. That I personally am not as important as the church which our Lord Jesus Christ bought with his blood and which God loved from eternity. I'm only a member, only one small part of that. And that's what it comes down to finally, too. This is a matter of what we believe. I've suggested to you this morning that there's a real sense in which the church has to take first place or center place in our lives. That we have to put the church and the peace of the church before ourselves and not be selfish members of the Church of Jesus Christ. But that's not just an exhortation that comes from me. That's the way it is with God, and that's what's got to move you and me to listen to the Word of God in a passage like this. For God Himself, in all that He has decreed and planned before the foundations of the world, the central thing is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the church that He loved. It's for the church that He sent His Son. It's to the church that He gives His Spirit. In spite of the fact that that church is filled with sinful, disagreeable members, so I'm not just saying to you this morning that you have to be good members of the church, but saying to you that you have to love the church as Christ loved it and as God himself loves it, and that the church must have the same place with you that it has with God himself in all of his saving work. That's what it comes down to. To love the church as the Father loved it in eternity, as the Son loved the church when he gave himself as a sacrifice for the church. And as the Holy Spirit loves the church, willing to live in the church of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit. That's where blessedness begins. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. No room there for independence. No room for going my own way, for insisting on having everything the way that I want it. All my blessedness as a believer, as a family man, even the fulfillment of those covenant promises that are so precious to us, begin with this: the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. If you understand that already, then I hope that what's been said this morning reinforces it and stirs you up to a new regard for what God has given you here in this congregation, and for the importance that this congregation and the life of this congregation ought to have to you personally and as families. If you don't understand these things, then I hope you will think seriously about them and take to heart the Word of God here in Psalm 128. You want to see your children's children? I do. And I'm sure you do too. You want to see peace on Israel? Nothing worse than trouble in the Church of Jesus Christ. Then begin where the Word of God begins. Those first words of Psalm 128, verse 5. Out of Zion. May God bless His Word to your heart and to mine, and use it to correct us, to sanctify us, and to make us in every way those who fear the Lord and who walk in His ways. Amen. Heavenly Father,